relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it when subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle.
We will fight them on the beaches, and we will never surrender. The greatest statesman of the modern age, a man who you can rightfully say saved Western civilization, Winston Churchill. Welcome, dear friends, to America First One-on-One with a very special guest. It's been far too long since we've had him on, and we are delighted to welcome him back from across the pond, Calvin Robinson. Welcome back.
A belated happy Christmas and a happy new year to you.
Belated Christmas and happy new year to you as well. Calvin, I want to talk about, where is that bulldog spirit? Is it still alive? Has the swamp managed to crush it in the post-Brexit years? You are doing sterling work, yeoman's work on GB News, on social media. We are delighted to see you as one of the rising stars of common sense in the UK. But first things first, for those small number of individuals who missed our last chat here on America First, would you give us the potted version of Calvin Robinson to date, where you hail from, because it's a fascinating story, and how you arrived at GB News after your journey?
Sure. I used to be a school teacher. I was an assistant principal. And during the first lockdown, I started commenting in the newspapers and on the radio about how we needed to stop closing our schools, keep the schools open, because our young people are vulnerable. They're missing out on a lot of learning, and schools are actually a safe place for kids. Many children that aren't on a special register that are still looked out for by teachers. You know, we have that special relationship. We have their best interests at heart, and kids were locked away in their homes, many in abusive homes, many in homes with no access to learning. And I was championing keeping the schools open, and I did that more and more. And I also started to speak out against Black Lives Matter when we imported that drama from America over to Great Britain. It didn't make any sense. You know, it's a completely different history, completely different race relations over here. But we wanted to copy and paste the drama after the untimely demise of George Floyd. So I started commenting on those two things, and I just ended up being on TV and radio and in the papers more and more, until GB News said, why don't you have your own show? So, okay, sounds good to me. So I'm launching a new show this year based on faith and family. Because I think those are the most important things in our society. They're the things that we are missing. They're the things that the left and the woke often attack first and foremost, because if you break down the family, you break down community. If you break down community, you can indoctrinate young people. You can take over with your own ideology, whether that's neo-Marxism or communism, doesn't really matter. Because the forefront of Western society, of Western civilization, is the family and our faith, our Christian faith. The two most important things, I think. Well, they need protecting.
Well, that's very, very exciting to have you helm a show on faith and family. And, of course, it is no accident. It has since been scrubbed, but it's no accident that the BLM Central webpage here in the United States had as part of its core mission the dismantling of the, quote, traditional nuclear family. That is not an accident at all. Calvin, I want to thank you. I want to commend you, because you have been almost unique in your outspokenness, especially given your heritage and talking about the truth of racism or whether racism is the threat that the West faces today. So I want to thank you in advance before we dive deeper into all of these issues. Let me start with your reaction to that little audio quote, audio actuality we played at the top. As somebody who was born in the UK myself, I'm an immigrant to the United States, a legal immigrant. I was, of course, shaped by my 23 years in England, grew up under Maggie Thatcher, and I grew up in an incredibly multi-ethnic part of West London. All my mates, there was one guy in my class who could actually claim to be English for more than a couple of generations. Everybody else was, you know, Polish, Indian, you name it. And there was a spirit that bound us together as Brits. And there was a kind of bloody-mindedness, that bulldog spirit that we were proud of. Is that bulldog spirit, the Tommy spirit of the trenches, is it still alive, or has it been crushed under the elite's push of the COVID pandemic porn?
I don't know. I've got Winston Churchill's own books here, the originals. I'm looking forward to going through them myself because he is a hero. As you said, one of the people instrumental in stopping fascism on a global scale, one of our best leaders of all time. But do we still have that spirit, the bulldog spirit? I think we're finding it again, in all honesty, Seb. I really do. I think it's been quiet for a while. You know, over the last 22 months or so, I've been worried because I've thought, you know, we've forgotten what it means to care about civil liberties, about our freedoms, about our nation, about our laws, about our democracy. We've forgotten how to care about all these things because we've been obsessed with safety and security. And as we know, tyranny always comes in under the guise of security. It's always the state taking powers for your own best interests, or so they would say. And we've kind of gone subservient over the last few months, but the tide is beginning to change now. We're starting to see more and more people stand up and say, actually, this doesn't quite smell right. You know, people have given the government, given them a chance and said, you know what, you guys are fighting a pandemic or whatever, we'll go with whatever you're saying. But now things aren't adding up and people are starting to realize that they've been duped on so many levels. And I really do think that both in the United Kingdom and the Western world, to be honest, many, many people are starting to think, you know, why do people like Fauci have so many dodgy deals going on? Why is Bill Gates involved in literally everything? Why is our government saying this is safe and it doesn't seem to be safe? Why are everyone pushing the drugs so hard as if they are literal drugs pushers and at the same time avoiding early treatment medication? You know, there's so many questions being raised. Why are we forcing young people to take a vaccination that actually doesn't seem to be a vaccine because it doesn't work in the same way that normal vaccines do? But why are we forcing young people to have it where they're not at risk and there's a 99% survival rate? Sure, we understand vulnerable people taking it and the elderly, but why young people when it's experimental and the risks seem to be more detrimental to young people than the virus itself? You know, all these questions need to be asked and people are starting to ask them. So we are refinding our bulldog spirit.
I love the way you express that. It gives us great clarity. I can't recall as a child, you know, who was vaccinated against measles and rubella and all that, the idea of any child being vaccinated for something that has a less than 1% mortality rate is science denial. Can you identify, I'm curious, because I think you're right, it's this aversion to any kind of risk. It's this obsession with safety, health and safety. I remember when the British police officers first donned these absurd yellow jackets, not, you know, not the classic blue tunic with the silver buttons, but these bright yellow jackets. When did it begin in the UK? When did the obsession with it's zero risk? How recent is that, Calvin?
In general, I'm not sure, but I think it's related to political correctness. This health and safety obsession, it's almost a virtue signaling of itself, isn't it? Yeah. Like everything has to be above board. But going back to the Victorian days, people used to look for risk and think, there's an adventure. I'm gonna be a man and partake on this mission. But now it's all, oh, no, that doesn't look quite safe enough for me. I don't know when we became so wet, I can't put my finger on it. But in regards to COVID itself, we've become obsessed purely because there's been so much propaganda, you know, not just from the government, but from the mainstream media, because, of course, the government set up the Trusted News Initiative and pretty much paid media companies to propagandize for them, invested heavily in that, not just in advertisements, but in the content that news agencies put out, but also wider than that. So we have a regulatory body in the UK called Ofcom, who look at all our media outlets and make sure that they are not biased. But even they changed their guidance last year to say you are not allowed to question or undermine public health bodies. So even the governing body looking after the media, making sure that they are impartial, were not impartial themselves. So all across the board, people have had Project Fear shoved down their throats. So of course people were scared. Of course people have changed their mindsets. And of course people have gone along with the narrative. But as I say, we're starting to look, we're starting to question. You know, even I went along with it for the first, you know, when they said 2 weeks, we're going to have a lockdown right. for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I was like, 2 weeks, I can cope with that. I don't really like the idea, but 2 weeks, I can cope with that. 2 weeks became 3 months. 3 months became 18 months. And you kind of you look at it and think, well, this never would have happened over a year ago. We never would have considered a Western nation taking human rights, taking civil liberties away from their subjects and their citizens in a way that only communist China would do. Why are we copying communist China?
Yeah, indeed, indeed. If you enjoy our one-on-one chats, if you like getting access to me directly, dear friends, check out my new Locals community. Content you can't find anywhere else. That's gorka.locals.com and direct access to me. That's gorka.locals.com. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to book your tickets right now. We've had enough of the lockdowns. We are ready to roll, and we're going to the Holy Land this November for 10 days with my colleague at Salem, Dinesh D'Souza, for the trip of a lifetime. Even if you've been to Israel, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Yes, we're going to go to all the sites you've read about in the Gospels. We're going to go to the Temple Mount. We're going to go to the Wailing Wall, to the Holy Church of the Sepulchre, and to Galilee. Join us today for a trip you will not regret. That's standwithisrael.com or just call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519 or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. Let me ask you, in the broader scheme of things, Calvin, what are we living in? What is the right label for the age in which we are living? Because it seems the old taxonomy, the old verbiage of left and right, conservative and socialist or Labour, has very little application to what we are witnessing. Some have posited it's the here in America, the economic nationalists, of course, that has a different taste in Europe, vice the globalists. Or is it very simply the elite on both sides of the aisle, vice everybody else? Have you found better descriptors for the age in which we are living politically?
I do think globalism is the problem. I think it is the elite. They are a global elite. And it's almost hard to define because it seems like communist capitalism, which I know doesn't make sense, it sounds like an oxymoron, but it's this idea that, you know, you will own nothing but you will be happy, you know, the WEF slogan. It's this idea that the elites will maintain what privileges they have, but everyone else will kind of be reliant on the state, and they'll all, you know, we'll have a social credit system, and we won't own anything, we'll rent all of our belongings. I think the vision would be everyone sat miserably in their own homes with a virtual reality headset hooked into
the metaverse. Everybody plugged into Zuckerberg's metaverse. But really, it's not oxymoronic capitalist communism. That's how communism worked. You know, as a child of those who lived under communism, everybody was promised equality, but the people who had everything were, of course, the elite. So in practice, it's just another version of communism, really, Calvin.
Yeah, absolutely, spot on. But the problem is all of our world leaders are signing up to this. You know, they all meet at Davos, they all discuss this new economic institute because we know that the fiat system is crumbling. We know that the financial crisis of 2008 was destructive and they haven't managed to recover from it. And then we know that they need to look for something else. And they're afraid of things like Bitcoin, which are amazing because it's decentralized money, but because they don't own it, they don't control it. They can't, you know, implement inflation whenever they want to, and they cannot feed themselves, and that's the bigger problem. So they're looking for new systems, and we're hearing about digital currencies that are centrally controlled, which of course, if the government controls your money, they control you, because they can control where you spend it, what you spend it on. If they say, actually, we are a green initiative government, you can't spend your money on gas or petrol, you can only spend it on electric cars, then that's it. If they say, actually, you shouldn't spend it on this issue because we believe that Black Lives Matter is a virtuous issue, but that issue is not, you know, they can control how you live your life.
Or if you want to buy a nice, juicy red steak, that may not be permissible because it's against the environment. This isn't a joke. I mean, for those who aren't familiar, and I hope you will be reposting this to your massive audience in the UK, we just, by the skin of our teeth, prevented a woman who came from the Soviet Union, who had a Lenin fellowship in college in the USSR, from becoming Biden's federal comptroller of the currency. This woman actually said last year, just before she was nominated, she wishes to, this is not a joke, nationalize all checking accounts under the Federal Reserve, Calvin. So there's no private checking account. So this is the woman who almost became comptroller of the currency. Okay, let's hone in on this, because there's one thing. I think people are waking up. You say it's happening in the UK. It's definitely happening here, especially at the school boards, with parents saying, what are you doing to my children with these masks for 8 hours a day and these transgender insanity and the bigotry of critical race theory? Okay, people are waking up. But as a former teacher, as a person who dealt with the next generations, you talked about this, nobody will own anything. And in America, this issue that if you're in your 20s or 30s, you're just not going to have the money to even put down a deposit on a mortgage for a house. Even if people are waking up, Calvin, the next generation, do they already have an inbuilt dispossession? Can we get over that? What is it the socialists called it? What was it Marx called it? The alienation? Do we have something to deal with that?
Yeah, so that is the battleground, definitely, the younger generation, because they've already been indoctrinated.
Yeah.
They already believe that there are 99 genders. They believe that if you're white, you're naturally racist. If you're black, you're naturally oppressed. They believe all of these things already. So we have to fight back and teach them how to think critically. And some of that is happening. I'm hearing in America, everyone's talking about school choice now and the money following the rather than the school bodies and all this kind of thing. Is fantastic to see. We're seeing a little bit of that over here as well, in the charter system they have in America. We have the free school system over here in England, so parents and teachers can set up their own schools and provide better choice, better options for parents and for kids to get out of this system. Because it comes back to how we opened, in that if you control the family, you control the community. If you control the community, you control the people. And what's happened in our society is that education has become the state's job, and education has always been a parent's job. It's always been a parent's role to pass on values to young people, to the next generation. But now we expect the schools to do it. We expect the government to do it through the schools. Therefore, kids are waking up. Kids are being taught different values to what their parents have. And we hear teachers say, well, we can't leave it to the parents. What if they teach them something wrong? You know, what if the parents are bigoted or racist or whatever? And there's this assumption that parents are bad people. Therefore, they shouldn't be allowed to teach their own kids. And that's backwards. That is backwards thinking.
Yeah, so that's how the Democrat candidate for the governor of Virginia just lost the election, with a soundbite in the debate where he said, no, parents should not be telling teachers what to learn. It became an overnight soundbite by the Glenn Youngkin campaign, and he destroyed a person who was one of the most influential Democrats in the United States. Calvin, is the response in the UK, is it organic, or is there anything institutional? Because you see on the left, it's all institutional, whether it's BLM, whether it's Insulate UK, whether it's Extinction Rebellion. Is it all sporadic, sui generis, pop-up resistance to the insanity? Or are we seeing something a little bit more organized occur?
It's difficult, because the right isn't as organized as the left in that way, because the left will always congregate together and they're always communal. On the right, you know, we're more entrepreneurial, so we're all individualistic and we all have our own things going on. Over here in the UK, we've got a few smaller parties, political parties, that have set up to try and fight these battles. We've got Reclaim, Reform, Heritage, and these are all parties that are against lockdown, pro civil liberties, but also against woke nonsense and pro good old fashioned common sense. So they are applying some pressure on the political system in regards to the government. You know, we have a conservative government that's not really conservative, so they need a pressure applying to them. So that's happening. But also, I think on the ground, it's much more organic. We are seeing more people return to homeschooling and home education and all of that. That's a fantastic way of taking back control.
Yeah, very, very exciting. We've seen incredible figures here, potentially pushing double digits for the parents that are taking their children out of schools because of COVID and keeping them out and teaching them at home, creating these pods with other families. That could be perhaps the best vaccine we need as a civilization. If you enjoy our long-form discussions as much as we do making them, check out our podcast. It's free. Go to Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, and America First. Make sure you subscribe today. Give us a review as well. It helps. And share the word. We love long-form interviews, not sound bites, not talking points, the real deal with people who know of which they speak. America First, Sebastian Gorka. Look for it wherever you get your podcasts. We've all been there. You get out of the shower, out of the bath, reach for the towel, and it's like sanding yourself down with a piece of cardboard. Why? Mike Lindell worked it out. They were importing towels from abroad, adding softness, and when you get home, it's just a con. Do what we've done. Order the incredible new MyPillow towels made with American cotton right here in the United States. Soft and absorbent as long as you own them. The six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths, regularly $109.99. You gonna get them for $39.99. If you use my name, go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio list of specials for deep, deep discounts with promo code G-O-R-K-A. You've never tried a towel like it. 1-800-829-8468. 1-800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. So you mentioned the conservative government that isn't a conservative government. I have to play this cut from a man that we had high hopes of, but didn't turn out so well. This is Boris Johnson with regards to the Omicron threat.
The wave of Omicron continues to roll in across the whole of our United Kingdom, with over 780,000 COVID cases today, the highest ever daily number reported. And the doubling rate of Omicron in some regions is now down to less than 2 days. And I'm afraid we're also seeing the inevitable increase in hospitalizations, up by 10% nationally week on week, and up by almost a third in London.
Just the visual there on the podium of the get boosted sign, the get boosted now, the red with the yellow stripes. It's like a Monty Python skit, really. This echoing Biden's December statement saying it's going to be a winter of gloom and death, which is exactly what you want to have your head of state tell you. What is the reality? I mean, if that's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, does the Conservative Party have a future, or do any of the small nascent ones you've mentioned, do they have a chance of becoming a new functioning national force for common sense?
Well, one would hope, you know, because the government's using psyops against us at the moment. You mentioned the banners and all of that. We've got advertisements everywhere. We've got billboards with the masks. And everyone, of course, is wearing the masks, reminding you everywhere you go that to live in a state of fear.
Except at the parties at 10 Downing Street.
Except for their parties, absolutely. And that's the hypocrisy, the fundamental problem with our government, in that they are sitting there making rules. We had Her Majesty the Queen, our head of state, grieving, mourning on her own for her late husband in Westminster Abbey, all by herself. One of the most moving images I've seen in a long time, whilst people were in Number 10 partying away. We had people who couldn't visit their loved ones, couldn't hold their loved ones' hands as they died because they had to be isolated. They had to be on their own in care homes or whatnot. And we had people who missed cancer diagnosis treatments as well as other serious illnesses because the GPs weren't seeing them. And everyone missed Christmas last year because they couldn't spend it properly together, while the government, the people in Number 10, were having a whale of a time, which tells me two things. One, they have utter contempt for the people they're supposed to serve, but two, that they weren't really afraid of COVID. If COVID was this massive killer pandemic disease that they paint it to be, why would they be partying together in such close quarters? And the Prime Minister can talk about all the case numbers he likes. The government's own statistics show that only 9,400 people have died of COVID with no underlying causes in 2021. That's less than 10,000. When we consider that over 71,000 people died of other respiratory diseases in the same year, or 66,000 people died of dementia or Alzheimer's. People are dying all the time. And of course, people are dying from COVID. It is a serious disease, but it's not as serious as they've made out. Not as many people are getting ill or dying from it as they've made out, which is why they look at cases or hospitalizations instead of deaths. That's why they flip the numbers and manipulate the numbers. And we've heard from the people, the SAGE, Independent SAGE Committee, the people who give these models to the government, we've heard from them that they actually are modeling on worst-case scenarios because the government's asking them to look into worst-case scenarios. They're not looking at realistic situations. They're not looking at realistic numbers. When they're given guidance.
What could be the explanation for this, beyond the political correctness, the risk aversion? Is it, I don't want to go into conspiracy theory territory, but is there something darker when it's clear they don't believe there's a threat? They're buying, you know, wine bottles by the crate for their parties at 10 Downing Street, maskless, and then they're scaring everybody. You've got to be vaccinated and boosted. Is there any stronger explanation, Calvin, for the psychological operation?
For the first part, I think it's they doubled down because they made a mistake. They made, you know, taking away restrictions from people in this country has never been done before. And they know there's going to be a public inquiry at some point, and they want to look like they made the right decision. So they double down. They keep doing more lockdowns. They're like, because the lockdowns work. Obviously, they work. So they keep doing it again and again. But the second thing, I think, is the lobbying. That they're being lobbied so hard, not just by the big pharma companies, not just by Pfizer and Moderna, but also by the WHO, who we know are corrupt. Because in 2009, during the last so-called pandemic, with the Tamiflu drug that was on sale, you know, all the same companies and all the same people were lobbying governments. The WHO was found guilty. Pfizer was found guilty. These companies were found guilty of being corporate shills and trying to inflate the state of things, trying to cause a pandemic that didn't actually exist in order to sell more drugs. And I think that's what's happened here. People are making far too much money. You know, Moderna have made, what, 200% from what they were making prior to the so-called pandemic. Pfizer have made 1,100%. So they are making a killing from this virus. Or is it the other way around, Pfizer and Moderna? It doesn't matter. They're making a lot of money. And of course, people who are in government are also making money off the back of this. So what we need to do is take the money out of the situation. Who's paying for all these tests? Who's paying for all these jabs? We are.
We are. Yeah, exactly right. We're talking to Calvin Robinson. He's a presenter with GB News. You've got to check out his show, listen to him, watch him, and follow him on Twitter at Calvin Robinson.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
So excited to hear about the focus of your new show, Calvin, of faith and family. Let's start with the first part of that. A very wise philosopher once said not too long ago, if you say that you kill God, if you get rid of God, you still leave a God-shaped hole in the soul of mankind. That's why you have the insanity of the environmentalist cult and Greta Thunberg and everything else. What I know this is, you know, the question of the age, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but how do we deal with the incredible power of secularity when you're the Richard Dawkins of the world, are, you know, like the Beatles, hailed as these, you know, wonderful philosophers of life, who at the end of an interview say, yes, there is no explanation for life, but it could have been seeded on our planet by an alien. You realize that they are, you know, they know not of what they speak, but they have a grip on popular culture. So where does it begin? We've seen the church, and I'm sorry to go on here, but I am, as a, you know, Catholic, I'm appalled by the lack of leadership from my church under COVID, you know, closing down churches, masks and everything else. So where does it begin? If the leadership isn't prepared to speak the truth, do we have to do it individually?
Yeah, so I think the problem is, it's the same of all these issues. It's political correctness, it's wokeness. That's what's caused this decline in faith, because it started out with people saying, oh, we can't talk too much about our Christianity in case we offend people that aren't Christian. And then we stopped talking about our faith, and then people stopped being religious. And of course, like you said, remove God, you still have that God-filled hole, and that void has to be filled somehow. And people are latching on to Extinction Rebellion and Black Lives Matter, because not only are they groups to offer people a sense of belonging, but they also have their own moral codes. They've got their own set of values. You know, it's an us versus them attitude. We are the good guys because we are BLM. We've got a black square on our Instagram. It shows we care about people. Or, you know, we've got a rainbow flag across our company banner. We are obviously pro-LGBT. We care about people. We're good guys. And of course, they don't have to actually do anything good. It's all virtue signaling. Whereas faith itself, the religion, especially the Christian religion, is about doing good. It's about doing good charitable works. But it's harder. That's much harder to actually be good than to look good. So, of course, political correctness has killed it off. But we can replace that by stopping that. So I've got a lot of Muslim friends, Sikh friends, Hindu friends, etc. And these people always say to me, Calvin, you know what I like about you? You're unashamedly Christian. And I know what you stand for. I know what your values are. And these are the same people that send their kids to Church of England schools because they think they know what they're getting. Whereas the middle classes, the white middle classes in England, who are the people who say, oh, we must not offend those poor ethnic minorities, you know, the patronizing type, they are the ones who are taking offense on other people's behalf. And it's always taking offense on other people's behalf. And we need to say no to them. So actually, this is a Christian country. We're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating Easter. It's about the birth or the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. That is important for our salvation. We're going to talk about it, which is exactly what I did on my Christmas show. We need to just do more and more of that.
Yeah, we do, we do. I'm going to risk offending you right now. I'm going to say something racist, Calvin Robertson. I didn't come up with it, but I really think it hits the nail on the head. The problem we have in our culture, in our civilization, is white liberals. That's the real problem. Sadly, lecturing others, telling we have a president here, Calvin, who says black Americans are too stupid to use the internet to find a way to get a driver's license. If you're not... where is it? I've got to play this. For those who are not familiar with it amongst your audience, you've got to hear this from the campaign. This was candidate Biden during the campaign.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
You ain't black. Now, if he had been a Republican candidate, a conservative of white skin pallor, he would have been crucified by the mainstream legacy media. Let's talk about that for a moment, Calvin. The role of the media. So excited with GB News. Over here, I've got my TV show on Newsmax. Had a recent chat with the CEO of GB News. Very impressed. Is this enough? Is there a point at which you have confidence that the legacy propaganda are just going to fold in on themselves? Here in America, we've seen a 85% fall in the ratings in the audience for CNN. Is that the only answer? Market forces?
Absolutely. And thank you for mentioning GB News, because what we're doing at GB News is we're answering the questions that people want answered. Sorry, we're asking the questions that people want answered. And this is the problem, in that the mainstream media, BBC, all the other channels, are peddling the same approved narrative. They're all the metropolitan liberal elites, or as you call them, the white liberals. They think alike because they are alike. And they don't have any diversity of thought and opinion. They're all about diversity of, you know, getting more brown faces that think like them. But that's the problem. Right. So we need to offer a different perspective, and that's what we're doing. And if more people do that, fantastic, because it's what people want. The silent majority don't believe in all this woke nonsense, but they're afraid to speak out. So by us having a platform and using it to speak out, we give them permission to, we enable other people to speak out. And you're absolutely right about the Democrats. You know, the Democrats are the party of the KKK. They're the party of Planned Parenthood in black areas. They're the party of holding ethnic minorities down and patronizing them and using them for their vote. But people have forgotten, for some reason, Americans have forgotten their history. The Republican Party is the party of emancipation. They're the party of individual civil liberties and treating everyone as an individual person rather than a category. So I'm baffled by what's going on in American politics. But what I like is these memes that go around and say, you know, they'll play a clip and they won't say if it was Biden or Trump. And people will be like, you know, white liberals will be like, that's horrendous. How could someone say that? That's terribly racist. And then the meme person will say, yeah, that was Joe Biden. They'll be like, oh, actually, no, because what happened with that? And they are apologetic for him because of who he is. It's no longer about the content. It's about the character. And that's
Well, you've mentioned memes and the left can't meme. Will you indulge me? This is a video clip we played on my radio show last week. This is from an NBC totally legacy left-wing media interview with Kamala Harris. The interviewer was black. He was lambasted for not doing a puff piece interview. And this was the gem, the philosophic gem that Kamala gave us during this interview about what her administration as vice president is doing. This is cut three, play cut.
At what point does the administration say, you know what, this strategy isn't working, we're going to change strategies? Six former administration officials last week wrote that open letter urging the administration to change course, to change strategy. Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
She's not wrong. That's very smart.
That's meme-worthy. That is classic meme-worthy.
It is what it is. You know, you can't argue with that. But this is the problem. During the campaign, people were talking about what ice cream Joe Biden was eating or what shoes Kamala Harris were wearing. Whereas for Trump, they were on his back day by day. And we need scrutiny. We do need scrutiny of our politicians, but we need it across the board and balanced. And the media bias, especially in America, it's even worse in America than it is over here at the moment. It's just baffling to me because people want to see their politicians answering tough questions. They want to know why they're putting these policies in place if they're not supporting the people that they're supposed to help. And the problem with that interview there, and the chap that got lambasted for not giving her an easy ride, is because he's black too.
Yeah.
And this thing that, oh, if you're black, you cannot, you know, give someone else that's black a hard time because they're one of your own. It's that's racist.
That's the definition of bigotry. That's saying your behavior must depend upon your melanin levels in your skin pigmentation. Absolutely outrageous. Well, God bless you. All the great, great colleagues you have, Neil Oliver, Dan Wooten on GB News. Follow this guy at Twitter. It's Calvin Robin, at Calvin Robinson on Twitter, and also follow his program on GB News. Okay, let's wrap on a couple of big picture questions. You know the next generation. You've taught them, Calvin. Can you help me? I have a mission, you know. My mission is to keep our Tommies in the trenches, our GIs buoyed and ready to fight, to give them the political and spiritual ammunition. But I'm curious, have you found in talking to those who are from the other side or who are undecided or apolitical or just indoctrinated, is there any frequency? Is there any tool that you have found to be more persuasive than others? I found personal narrative, especially the narrative of my parents, quite efficacious in what they suffered through. But tell us, as an educator, what you've seen work the best.
So I've always struggled with personal anecdotes because they can always trump you on something. If you say, well, I come from a working class background, they'll be like, well, I was more impoverished than you. If you say, right, well, I'm mixed race, they'll be like, well, I'm fully black. You know, they can always one-up you on that. So, and I find that facts and evidence don't work in arguments against them.
No.
Because their arguments are entirely motive. So what I try to do is just ask questions, keep asking questions. You know, with my kids in class in particular, they'll be like, Trump is a bad guy, Trump is evil. I'll be like, okay, so why? They'll be like, because, so what policies do you not like of his? And then you get, you know, they're almost imploding. And the more you ask those questions, the more they start to question themselves and think, actually, why do I think that? Because they have to come to the realization on their own that they've been indoctrinated. We can't tell them that they've fallen, you know, they've been duped, because nobody wants to admit they've been duped. They have to realize it for themselves. And that's the same with adults. We can't say that, you know, this pandemic has been overblown. We just have to keep asking people, so do you really think that locking people down in their own homes is a good idea? Do you really think that sending people with COVID from hospitals into elderly care homes is a good idea? Do you really think giving a vaccine to five-year-olds when they're not at risk is a good idea? Just keep asking the questions and eventually they'll work it out for themselves.
So just the classic ancient Greek Socratic method, ask them the questions.
Absolutely, because people are smart. We have to give people the credit that they deserve. People are smarter than the government thinks they are.
All right, let me close on this one. You, with your colleagues at GB and elsewhere, you're a handful of freedom fighters, special forces guys who really are prepared to take the slings and arrows of the legacy media, of the indoctrinated. Was there something that let's use their language, triggered you, Calvin, to speak out openly? For seminal figures here in the United States, for example, for Andrew Breitbart, it was bullies. He just saw the establishing establishment bully people. And he said, this is wrong. Like a true social justice warrior, he said, this is wrong and I hate injustice. Was there an issue or an event that said to you, now's my time?
Yes, it was racism. It was more specifically anti-white racism, and it's become commonplace in Western society. It's okay to discriminate against white people. It's okay to literally be racist towards white people. It's almost approved at this point. And as a person of ethnic minority status, I felt I was privileged, to use their own terminology, in the way that I could speak out against it without being called a racist. If a white male in particular says certain things these days, he's a racist, he's xenophobic, he's transphobic, he's homophobic, he's all of the phobic cynists. Whereas I have ability to say some of these things without instantly being cast aside because of the color of my skin, because of the left's inherent racism, because they see a brown person, they think, oh, he must be right. So I'm using that to my advantage to say, actually, stop what you're doing. You are the racist. You are the bigots. You are discriminating people based on the color of their skin. It doesn't matter if you're white or brown. It doesn't matter what you are. Everyone has a right to an opinion. And let's stop shutting people down.
All right, I lied. One more question. I remembered how you came to my attention. It was from the great podcast. It's my favorite non-American podcast. It is Trigonometry, the fabulous team of Konstantin Kissin and Francis Foster. I saw you interviewed there, and that's how we established contact. And I'm going to plagiarize from them for once, I'm going to say, because they always ask their subjects the same question at the end. Is there something we're not talking about enough? I'm going to paraphrase that and say, Calvin, is there something we're not talking about enough or not focusing on enough? I say, got to get back to the good book, got to ask yourself what you're doing for the Republic and for our Lord and Savior every day. What is your last little closing words of wisdom or homework you'd like to give out to our millions of listeners and viewers?
That's good. Thank you. I'd say, you know, we're more divided now than we have ever been. In the US, it's people that are pro-Trump or anti-Trump, pro-Biden, anti-Biden. Over here, we've got the Brexiteers versus the Remainers. And all across the world right now, we seem to have the anti-vaxxers versus the vaccine fanatics. And I think that is the problem, because we are far stronger together. We're much stronger united, and they know it. The elite, the global elite, are very, very small in number. We are massive. They want to divide and conquer. It's the oldest trick in the book, the art of war. If we come together and say we are stronger together, in fact, we are even stronger in Christ, if we unite through the return to our faith, the next crusade, we will take down the elite and we'll take back control.
Love it, love it. Pugnacious words, combative words from a warrior for the truth. I can't wait when this madness is over to meet you in person on either side of the pond. God bless you in everything that you do every single day. Calvin Robinson, at Calvin Robinson, and check him out on GB News. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been 101. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.